Now, finally, this morning, I'm joined by poet Theo Dorgan to talk about another of our great and much cherished poets, Paul Durkin, who died at the weekend. He was 80. And condolences to you, Theo Dorgan, on the death of your friend. Tell us about your memories of him.
Well, I'm glad you used the word cherished, because I think that's very accurate. Paul was very much cherished. He was the kindest of men. He suffered. He was kidnapped by his family and put into a psychiatric hospital when he was still a student at UCD and forced to electroconvulsive therapy. And I don't think he ever got over the shock of that. But he would say himself that that's what gave him his sense of what I'd call boundless compassion. He felt for everybody. He was particularly aware of the difficulties women faced in the Ireland of his time and our time. But he had a great sense of humour as well. And he managed to be of Ireland and for Ireland, if I can use a phrase. He was very, very, very socially and politically conscious. But most of the best of his poems were very personal. And I think that's probably what endeared him to people. That and his sense of humour, as I say. He had a wicked sense of humour, and he was the kindest of men, even though he suffered, you know?
Yeah, I think we heard that wicked sense of humour and the wit in many of his poems as well. And people will remember, Theo, I think, that beautiful voice he had as he delivered those diaries on the Today Show with Pat Kenny down through the years. And I'm told, and unfortunately I never saw him perform live, but President Higgins touched on it yesterday. I've heard others say it. He was a wonderful performance poet as well.
Absolutely marvellous. I was fascinated always by the fact that before he began a poem, he'd go one, two, three, as if he was counting in the band. And you could hear the inaudible and see the invisible band behind him as he performed. He honed it to as fine an art as I've ever seen in any poet reading. He knew how to connect to an audience. And what he did sometimes, he walked a very fine line. You felt that the strain of the poem was going to break him. So you reached out. I've seen audiences lean forward to support him. And he could use that particular energy and that particular device to hold people. He was a great pacer of readings as well. You know, he'd read something searing and heartbreaking and then follow with something very witty, you know.
He was born in Dublin, but he was very rooted in Mayo, wasn't he?
He was very rooted in Mayo. Yes. Well, his mother was from Mayo. His mother was married to his great aunt by marriage was Maud Gonne, and his mother was a McBride. So he had that deep family contact into the revolutionary generation, if you like. But he was absolutely 100% against violence. I mean, some of the most powerful of his poems were against violence. I remember the poem he wrote about Oma. And he wrote it within 24 hours of that particular atrocity.
He kept constant notebooks, I believe.
He would fill notebooks day after day. Audrey Whitty in the National Library has saved all those things for the nation, bless her. He wrote all day notebooks, a phrase overheard on the bus from a passerby in conversation with a friend. And he'd lie in bed at night, well, sit up in bed, I suppose, and go over and over those notebooks, picking phrases until something sparked the poem. He was the hardest working man I ever met in the whole domain.
Look at the body of work, 20 publications, multi-award winning. He was on the Leaving Cert curriculum. And, you know, we could pick so many poems, so many pieces, because he was also a polemicist from hearing what Paul was saying in his own words. We've picked this one because I think people will relate to it. Let's hear the man himself reading an extract from Making Love Outside Áras an Uachtaráin.
When I was a boy, myself and my girl used bicycle up to the Phoenix Park. Outside the gates, we used to lie in the grass, making love outside Áras an Uachtaráin. Often I wondered what De Valera would have thought inside in his ivory tower, if he knew that we were in his green, green grass, making love outside Áras an Uachtaráin. Because the odd thing was, oh, how odd it was, we both revered Irish patriots, and we dreamed our dreams of a green, green flag, making love outside Áras an Uachtaráin. where even had our names been Diarmaid and Gráinne, we doubted De Valera's approval. For a poet's son and a judge's daughter, making love outside Urus and Uchtaroin. I see him now in the heat haze of the day, blindly stalking us down, and levelling an ancient rifle, he says, stop making love outside Urus and Uchtaroin.
Paul Durkin, who died at the weekend, and Theo Dorgan, thank you for sharing your memories of Paul Durkin with us this morning. It's 2 minutes to nine.